Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. After my old corgi died, I decided that I wanted dogs that don't shed. It was just because I was tired of vacuuming up dog hair. I suppose that sounds selfish on my part. And it was. At that time, I thought I was so busy that I just didn't have any time to properly groom a dog. And so my solution to this was to get dogs that didn't shed, even though I knew that dogs that don't shed have to be groomed. And they need to be groomed even more than dogs who do shed. But a funny thing happened. Because I knew I had to groom those dogs, because I knew they wouldn't shed out, I just got in the habit of grooming them. From the time they were both puppies, I started, and so they accepted it, and one of them, Fricka, actually loves it. They have a ritual now. And even though Ollie would rather be playing with his ball or just goofing around somewhere, he knows it's going to be done and he's very good-natured about it. It's a great way to interact with them. It's actually very relaxing if we do the groundwork so that they accept it. It's a good way to check them over, not only for any ticks or little pieces of sticks or seeds that might have gotten caught in their coats, but also for any minor injuries that might have gotten hidden under the fur, scratches from the cat or something outside. But I think the best part of it for me is that close contact. Even though Ollie doesn't particularly like to be groomed, he likes the attention. He likes being close to me. Grooming the cat was a little bit harder initially. And even though I started grooming Bam from the time he was a tiny kitten, he's never been quite as accepting of it as the dogs, but that's not really a big deal. Cats are funny about any kind of restraint. There are basically only two ways to restrain them, totally or not at all. I find with Bamboo that if I hold him by the scruff, firmly but gently, I can usually get in several good swipes of the brush on both sides of him and the length of his body before he gets a little bit edgy. Then if I stroke him and rub his ears, which he so adores, and under his chin, he relaxes and then we can do a little bit more. With Bam, grooming isn't as much of an issue because he does shed. But if he were a Persian, or a Persian mix with a coat that tended to mat instead of shedding, it would be a necessity. But somewhere along the way, we've gotten out of that habit. Oh, sure, when we first get our new pet, we might buy some kind of grooming tools, along with a new food dish and a collar and a leash and little dog or cat bed and other paraphernalia. But pretty soon the brush gets tossed in a drawer with a comb, and we tell ourselves we're too busy. We're too busy for that kind of close interaction with the animal. That's a shame, because one of the biggest problems I see in my line of work is that people don't know their own animal. Not only don't they know what's normal for their animal, they're hesitant to handle their animal. Some of them are downright frightened. It's a hands-off relationship. And because of that, they miss all the joys, all of the value of a really intimate relationship. There's no doubt that many of these people, and actually most of these people, love their animals. They truly do. But because they don't have this kind of close interaction and the trust and the comfort that results from it, their love is a lot more superficial. It's not as deep. It's not as sensual. Yes, sensual. Feeling-based. Tactile. all that they could have. They just got into the habit of grooming their animals. It takes time. It takes commitment at first. As I said, it's certainly easier to start it on a young animal. And an older animal, sometimes you have to get one of those grooming gloves that kind of superficially groom the animal as you stroke him or her. But I think in the long term it's worth it, because someday you'll get to an age, or maybe due to injury, you won't be able to go out there and hike in the woods or play the kind of rigorous games that you play with your animal now. You just have to sit on the couch because you're sick or because you can't move. And at those times, it's nice to know that you can just pick up a brush or a comb and have quality verbal and nonverbal relationship with your pet.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.